Really thinking about the thought, really. What we're thinking about, what words we're thinking about, is that what we're talking about?
Well, we feel our thoughts.
Correct, I would agree.
And that's all we feel. So, where are you at the moment? Like, how do you feel at the moment?
Yeah.
That's just going to tell you the thoughts that you're having.
You know? Rather than going the other way, than going, well, I feel like this, instead of going, well, I feel like this, but what am I thinking? That's creating how I feel.
That's all there is.
We'll leave them with that. How about that question? What do you think comes first, the feeling or the thought? That's a good one. Yeah, Steve? The feeling or the thought? Yeah, chickens. Chickens. The egg. Feel like shit and depression is a bitch. Come on, Shane. Don't feel like that, brother.
You aren't what you feel, Shane.
Yeah. Feel like shit and depression is a bitch. Yeah. Well, we got to definitely investigate the thoughts that come with that for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. We won't be live today because we're in studio. When we're in studio, we don't go live. We actually use this system or this software here that you'll see that'll end up coming up on YouTube and all. We'll still post it there as well. But we're going to dive in this thing and do it. Yeah. Love you. Bitches. Always weak working. Bitches. Love you. Oh, I forgot to put Roxy in on that one. Damn it. Sorry, puppy.
Didn't watch the other one.
Yeah.
We're currently recording.
Yeah, we are recording. We're on the podcast. Well, hi, everybody. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. My boy, how long has it been, man?
7-8 years, I believe. Yeah.
Something like that. You're going to have to take the mic for a minute. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'll be with you momentarily.
Sure.
So, how do you know Adam? If it's been 7-8 years,
I met Adam when I was partying.
Partying?
At a club. And I was introduced to him.
As many, many people know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just knew him as Adam. And that was nice guy. Real quick. See ya. What's up? That's how I met him. Because I lived at nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just all the time.
So when did it become, hey, what's up, Adam? What's going on? To, hey, you're Adam.
Last year, I was just, you know, fingering around on Facebook, and I saw this guy's face, and I'm like, oh, I know him, but I don't know where I know him from. And then I came across an old photo of mine from a friend, Alvin, and all the way to the left in the photo, it was me, some friend of mine, the manager, and then it was Adam.
Alvin. Fucking Alvin.
Yeah, bro. Man. And I was like, that's him. That's my boy, Adam. Look at this.
Been a hot minute.
And then I started following the show, and I'm like, man, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, shit. That was 7 years ago. That was probably, mid-Lux?
Yeah.
Lux Ultra Lounge. Mm-hmm. I was with a woman named Amy. Amy Welsh was my, Bonnie to my Clyde, if you will. It was pretty intense. You met me when I was a fucking wreck. I was, I hit it well.
You look great. I mean,
nightclub lights, man. Nightclub lights. Hell, they hit it well. Well, I mean, we talked yesterday. Was it yesterday?
No, day before.
Day before, yeah. We chatted for a good minute, man. I only had like a half an hour. We ended up talking for like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
And what jumped you out, man? What happened? What, you know, there's been a few people like, you remember Charlie? She used to do promotions with Puerto Sol and Victor Ramos and a couple other. It was Charlie. She was with Noah Mencia a lot.
It sounds so familiar.
She jumped out of the game. She's like a yogi instructor. Like, wow. There's a lot of people that I saw, you know, bailing.
Right.
You know, just finding new. And what I see is a lot of people leaving the nightclub game, going to this personal development world, this better yourself world. What happened with you? Like, what made you jump out?
Well, I wanted to fix myself.
I mean, were you even aware? Did you wake up and be like, I'm fucking broken one day? Or was it just...
All these things from my past must be why I'm you know, doing so much drugs and going out. And so I just looked around and, you know, the first thing you hear is, oh, well, we can help you fix yourself. You know, come to our seminar. And I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't really grasp that I really was just all right. But I thought, no, it's not, you know, no, I'm not all right.
Mm.
And then when you start getting into the self-development, the focus is, oh, no, you have a problem.
Mm.
You know, you have this thing, so you need to fix it. And then, but at the same time, as I was going.
So they kind of give you the confirmation, right? You start to ask, am I broken? We ask those questions. And then here, self-development, self-help world starts telling you, yeah, you are broken.
Well, yeah. Oh, well, it's because of your past. And then we need to go there and analyze the shit out of it. And then we need to keep looking at it every single day. And it just becomes a part of who you think you are.
I love that nothing happened, because you were, I mean, if not still are, I mean, you had a good job. You had your own company.
I had my own company.
Right. You were a tax guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had your own company. Yeah. I mean, look, the face it, you were what a lot of people listening really are. We had a job. We had our business, and just doing what you were supposed to do and doing it well, too.
Right.
And then, I mean, doing it all. So, I mean, I like to bring that up, too, is because, you know, I talk a lot about all these podcasts that you see these people come on that live extraordinary lives or took an extraordinary chance and got a little lucky, which they won't account for, and sell everybody on how to get rich or how to get to Silicon Valley. And for me, I'm finding hard relating to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to say the normal person, but the Joe the plumber guy, right? Like, and girl, like, we're not that, right? Sometimes we're not. Steve is not a Princeton Ivy League person, right? And my other friend, I'm sorry. No,
it's
offense.
True, but come on.
Right. But see, my point is that I can't relate to much of that. But your story is easy for me to relate to because you started your business. You got successful. You did it well. You were the guy at the VIP buying the bottles. You were doing all that.
Right.
And still something, it didn't fulfill it. And
well, because those things I was learning was telling me, well, when you have money, you just magically, oh, I'm just magically happy, you know, and anything that I got going on, it just disappears. And that's not true.
Because you did it. I mean, I don't actually know much about your childhood or, I mean, any tough stuff or anything like that. But the fact is regardless of where you came from or what you went through, you did what you're supposed to do and you did it well. And
for the most part, yeah.
And it still didn't work. And there wasn't like a night, nothing happened. Was it just one day? What was the time when you were like, this is it. I have to do something different.
Well, it was like at the beginning when I first started my business. You know, I really wanted, you know, well, I had a business. So, well, and then I started having a lot of self-doubt. Mm. Am I doing the right thing? You know, what's the most important thing you need to know in business? While all along, I was just taking care of people. Just treating people the way I treat people. But then I kept looking for, well, I need to learn about marketing. I need to learn how to build instantaneous rapport and how to, you know, God, it was a lot of work.
So it's the further and more successful you got in business, the more you ended up questioning what you were doing.
Correct. And that actually started me down. I started trending down. That was already like in 2010, 2011, I started trending down because I was doing so much. Going to seminars, working at people's seminars.
Just overfeeding the fuck out of competence and experience.
Like I told you, I would hear, you know, the word seminar or webinar, I'd get like a boner. Mm. I'm like, do the next one. And just jumping from one to the other and just, it was on like super overload.
Mm.
Just trying to, you know, well, I need to understand why at the age of 5 when I had a family member making out with me in my grandmother's house, breaking that situation down.
Right.
You know, well, yeah, that did, you know, that did affect my future. Because then I just started making associations that were just bullshit.
I used to say in the clinics, I would say, look, we can talk about why all you want to. But when we get to even what we think is it, it's still hypothetical. We can ask why our whole lives. And I think it's important to ask why, to dive down to figure out what we believe about things in order to be able to address them. But if we continue to just try to fix ourselves by going, you know, well, why this and why that and why, you're still now going, okay, now what? Maybe that's why. Maybe it's not why. What do I do with that?
Well, just isn't there a point where you you need to ask why to figure out who you are, but then, like you were saying, you kept going backwards. And you even said, you know, you kept going back and back and dissecting, you know, when you're two or when you're five or eight and how this affect. But isn't there a point when you have to go, that's why, who cares? This is what I want to do. This is, this is who I'm going to be, not who I was. I think that person defined who I am. But yeah, I mean, but I think a lot of people get caught in that spiral and just like you were, and then never know what to do. They don't get to where I'm assuming you got to, because Adam's told me a little bit, but but yeah, you have to stop and go, okay, that's why, but now this.
Well, I was, but I was looking for someone that would tell me what you could do to your, get rid of your thoughts, because I keep having it.
I thought you were doing that in the nightclubs.
I love it.
Well, no, I
thought that's what you used to get rid of your thoughts in the nightclub.
Well, no, you know, actually, I'd go to the nightclub because I could, not because, well, I need to, I'm not feeling good, I'm going to go to the night. No. See, I liked it because I was like an explorer, an astronaut.
You just did it. See, that's I just did it. That's why I have a trouble with Dr. Gabor's theory about addiction as trauma-based, period, is, I mean, I didn't use a lot of times just because maybe I felt bad or sad. I did just because I could. I sold large quantities of cocaine. And the beautiful woman next to me. The beautiful, thank you. The beautiful woman next to me had, wanted to enjoy that too. So it wasn't like I was going, I got to numb my life out. I like you, right? You were just going because, you know what? This is what the fuck I can do.
Well, yeah. With coke, wow, we could just be up all night long.
Yeah.
And we can just talk.
Yeah.
And then everything else was just, oh, this experience. It was kind of like I was saying, well, what are the experiences? Because society is telling me that, you know, it's bad. And but I want to make my own.
Yeah.
I want to come up with my own idea about what it is to be under cool stuff.
Yeah, I want to go back to where you were walking into, which I really love, especially on the Cognitive Rampage and a lot I write about, which is talking about chasing competence, experience, etc.
Yeah.
But I like the point that you bring, because I felt it too, to a point where if you listen to all the chatter when you're in business, because you were at a successful point in business, so how do I keep bettering my business, right? I got to buy Tim Ferriss's book. I got to go to this Tony Robbins conference, and then I have to get into this group, right? There's almost like this thing you're supposed to do. And I can see you to where you're just kind of going, what the f-? It was too much. And then you said you started actually to decline the more you sought to optimize.
Correct.
Why?
Because
to clarify, you personally were declining, or your business was declining?
Yeah, which one?
Well,
or both.
Well, the business was, because I was.
Okay, 10-4.
You know? The business is, without me, it's just a building, office and a big monitor.
Right. Well, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that you said you were getting more competent in everything, and then it started to decline, but we didn't clarify. The business was declining, and you were doing well, or you were declining.
It was just ongoing.
It was just a reflection of where I was.
I love this, man. So you, and then you went hard down the ringer. How long did you were you, let's just say, boner hopping from seminar to webinar? How long did that last?
About 7-8 years.
Wow,
you've been there's not someone that I haven't read, studied, self development. Cognitive therapy, ceremonies, spirituality, the Ram Dasses.
Yeah.
Going on trips, sitting in ceremonies.
Yeah.
You know, looking for, okay, well, I need something to explain, because I thought I was, at one point, I thought I was looking for certain answers. Like, well, I need to fix myself. Well, how can I fix myself? How can I not have a thought of my childhood? You know? Because when I would take a break, a little break from my obsessive compulsive learning, I was okay. And that was strange. Whoa. I was like, I'm not doing anything and I feel okay. And that's where I would remember my days playing basketball, playing sports, being a kid. I'm like, man, I didn't do a lot of trying to figure it out. And I was just happy.
Just being.
But I, you know, but every single person around me is just, oh, yeah, my feelings, I get hurt. And, you know, it's like, whatever I'm thinking is just not true. Because everybody else seems to be under a group psychosis.
Whoa.
That the world is coming at them. I just didn't, at that point, I didn't have my own deep seeing and understanding of what I always kind of knew, but I just, it was so back shelved that I was just like, no, that's not true. I can't feel my thinking. Because everybody's telling me that my feeling is coming from the circumstances in my life.
Rather than your thought.
Right.
So do you think going through that 7 years helped you reach this end of maybe being able to just be?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I took myself so much, my brain just literally shut down.
Mm.
It just went.
It
stopped. And yeah. Then stopping, everybody else is like, oh, no, he's having a nervous breakdown and this and that.
Wow.
And you I'm became... just like on a three-day, there's no drug that I've ever done that gave me that sense of being like I was just in a 3 day high. I didn't sleep for 3 days because I was just hearing shit different.
When you stepped out, you know, we do put ourselves in the environments, people, places, things that match what we believe, what we think at the time. And to give some people some context too, is, you know, when you and here's a word, and I've invented this, damn it, and I've done this for years, so now on the podcast I'm claiming it. GU is a word that I use for the general you. When you talk to people and you go, when you do this, and like, well, not me. Well, no, not you. Like the GU, the general you,
yeah.
Right? When the general you, if you will, is in the self-development world, and it is quite the world. It is almost like being in the comic book world. I mean, that's its own world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve is deep in that. He has a couple of graphic novels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's its own subculture even, right? And
yeah,
and on social media, if you're liking and following these things, then you've built your social media around you to hear what you want to hear, to read the memes you want to read,
yeah,
the author quotes you want to see, and you build those friends around you. I mean, it tells you to. It tells you to put those people, you know, to do it, right? So here's the other problem I have. I was giving people context that it becomes a subculture group to where everyone around you is watching you, because then you have mentors and friends that aren't yes friends that tell you things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they catch you at moments change when you're not like they are.
Correct.
And now I'll my squirrel thought that I used to get pissed off about is that advice about cutting the dead weight into the next year. My problem with that is in the same sentence, they'll tell you to help people. And then they'll tell you that you're the average of the five people you're around. But if I put all that together, let's say I cut the dead weight. What if the dead weight I was helping? What if the dead weight needed me? But if I keep dead weight around that I have to help, well, then I'm the average of part of these people that aren't doing as well as I am. So if I follow all of this advice, and now mind you, those that I have to hang out with are more successful than me. But if they're following the rules, they're not going to hang out with me because I'm dead weight who's trying to use them to get more successful. And then I find you at the end, where are your fucking friends? Who, you know what I mean? If I follow this cliche fucking advice, well, then who are you left with? Your business people that were dumb enough to let you leech off them, that didn't follow the rules that you at one point thought were smarter and more successful than you, but didn't follow the same rules you did by not listening to them, by not following the rule of cutting the dead weight that they didn't listen. It's fucking insane.
And that's just too much information.
And it's impossible because I can't help people and have them in my life and really want to help them, call them my friend if I'm going to help them, and then cut them if they're dead weight after what? What's the cut? 3 months? 2 years? How long do you wait before you're like, all right, I'll put my work in, friend. You're dead weight next year. It's all about me. But next year, I'm going to help other people.
Well,
I'm like, what the fuck did you just say?
Well, I've actually listened to a lot of the personal growth and all that stuff, and I know what you're talking about in that sense. And I think the aspects that's missing is it's your definition of dead weight is not their definition of dead weight.
Right.
It's your definition of dead weight is like, well, you're supposed to help people, but then they're not as successful. But part of the thing is you help people who want help.
Mm.
And if they don't want help, then you have to be willing to let them. You can't force your help on someone. So therefore, the people who are more, you know, financially whatever, or they're better off than you are.
But who determines that? It becomes subjective.
The people who are asking for help, the people who are putting in the time and their effort. If I'm the millionaire and I'm helping you, because you say, "Oh, I want help and I want to be where you are," okay, well, I'm giving my time of you for free. I'm not asking you for anything. But then if when I call you and you go, "Oh, no, I got to," and then I call you 3-4 weeks and you're like, "Oh, I can't this week." And well, obviously you don't really want help. You say you want help, but you're not putting any the effort that I'm putting in.
Right.
So therefore I have to let you go. I have to let you go because you really don't want the help. You think you want help.
But then I would tell
you. But you want me to do it for you.
Then I picked the wrong coach because I chose a coach to help me better myself and be better. And if that's what I'm doing and that hasn't been brought to my attention, nor has he helped change me, well, then I hired the wrong coach. I mean, you know what I mean? So it's,
well, yeah, but again,
they live in the vague. My point is they live in the vague and obscure.
Some of them do, yeah. I've dealt with some mentors. I call them mentors or whatever, that they'll help you and they'll tell you, they're like, "Listen, you're not doing anything. I can't keep spending all of my valuable time when my family's sitting at home waiting for me." And I told them, "Well, I'm going to go help you."
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't show up. I can't keep doing that. But it's not fair to my family. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to you because then you keep lying to me. And so, you know, if you want to do something else, that's great. And so they'll let you go.
Yeah, the point for me is the lines. I mean, you're
I mean, I've been in the situation, right. So I know exactly what you're talking about. There are those aspects, but then there's the other aspects. Again, it all depends on who's your mentor,
right?
And what it is that they're telling you. There's a lot of them that do go, "Oh, well, you got to just cut them."
Yeah,
like anybody, like cut your mom. No, don't cut your mom.
Yeah,
if your mom doesn't. Want your help, love your mom.
Cut me.
Yeah.
I do agree with a lot you're saying. I do. But I think it's that subjective, right? Where's the line? Where's the line of...
Why are we taking opinions as advice?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because it's that experience to the person, to their perception, right?
So everybody's pretty much just reading a book and then they're just repeating what the book says.
They regurgitate.
And then because they're just... intellectually getting it, they can only help people like if they're just, you know, talking. And that's why they have to go buy those programs. Because the programs just gives them strategies.
Yeah.
Why would anyone have to learn how to engage with another person?
Mm.
By you learning how to engage is actually what's causing the separation by you just what we do naturally.
Yeah, I would agree.
We naturally connect, unless you got a lot of shit on your mind, and I got a lot of shit on my mind, as to how we should, and then we're just not going to.
Like teaching communication.
Well, but isn't it that... There's a whole genre, or we don't have the social interaction anymore. We aren't given social interaction. We aren't given the opportunity... even in school, they tell you to shut up and be quiet and don't talk.
12 years.
And then you're supposed to know how to talk to someone when you get out and have a business and be professional. Like, they don't teach you how to be professional. They teach you how to shut up and do your homework.
What's Cat Stevens say? Since I was since I could talk, I was told to listen. That's an old ass. Sorry. Throwback.
Well, but that's a good thing. The best way to grow is to listen. But then when it's time for your time to talk, you don't have anything to say because you haven't been given communication skills or how to interact with people. So are aspects of like, oh, well, you know, engage and all these things. But I think some people need the confidence. They don't really need the tools of like, here's how to engage, but they need to have the like, okay, I know how to do it now. I think it's more about confidence. They have to have the confidence to do it. And most people are too shy and haven't.
Well, I'll speak to that point. Like, confidence. What is confidence?
Exactly.
If I told you that confidence was just, you have a lot on your mind was just clear and clarity, there's confidence right there.
Confidence, perhaps, I would say, is confidence from is competence, just, being competent in something.
Confidence is just a byproduct of you not having a lot of shit on your mind.
Hmm. Interesting.
Well, when you have a lot of shit on your mind, you're not confident. When your mind is clear, I'm confident.
Interesting. Interesting.
When you understand the basics of how the human mind works.
Yeah,
the
see what you mean? Basic principles. Because when you're confident, you walk around more with this thought of I'm good. You have this present in the moment thought and yeah. Perpetual, yeah, okay, I'm following you.
So I get it why they make money selling confidence. As if it was something that you needed to learn instead of just something you needed to understand.
Ooh, look at you. I dig that. Okay. I'm walking. Keep going. I'm all ears here, man. Well, not right now, but.
There's tons of how-tos.
Mm-hmm.
Tons. What I realized is I was just looking for understanding.
Separate that difference for me, the learning and the understanding.
Well, learning is you're taking something from the outside in.
Okay.
As if you don't already have it.
Okay.
As if I need to learn how to protect myself from life, from circumstances, from events.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to learn that when something happens, I need to make sure that I'm in a great state. Mm. You know? That I need to learn when I'm not feeling good, oh, there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do something. I need to think positive.
Mm-hmm.
You can think 1,000 positive thoughts. You're still going to feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a principle. Our mind is constantly ebbing and flowing.
Mm-hmm.
But we think it's because of our circumstances we're not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just our ebbing and flowing that we're associating to what we could see. I don't know if you guys dig that.
I'm right with you. Oh, I'm right with you. We feel based on what we perceive. We feel we should.
Period.
Yeah. The understanding, I get what you mean, because I talk about there's a difference between learning and growing at the same time. Is you can learn something, but the growth comes in applying what you've learned, you know, which is more like awareness and understanding kind of what you're saying.
Right. But understanding this, well, you don't have to learn it.
Mm.
You just understand it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think I get your separation here is I don't have to learn how to be a Muslim. I can understand it. I can understand the thoughts, where it comes from, where the scriptures come from. I don't have to be an atheist to understand it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even have to really learn everything it means. But the understanding, maybe awareness is what I like better, because I can say it in most psychological theories that you go through and break down. For the most part, other than probably some more direct behavioral implications, but it's just that. That's what it is. It's the perception of it. It's the I lost my train of thought when I was going in. Man, I gotta bring myself back. What was I talking about?
You're talking about you can understand.
Oh, understand awareness. Yeah, that's what I meant. Most psychological theories, they link back to really an awareness. Coming back to an awareness of either how you process the environment, an awareness to how your biological functions, an awareness to your responses, an awareness. It's the understanding of.
Right. And your perceptions of the world are directly linked to your mood at the moment.
Exactly.
You're in a great place. Your mind is clear. Life and everything in it looks great.
Yeah. If I perceive it to be. Yeah.
Well, if your perception is based on how much you're not thinking about at the moment.
Mm.
As I said, the mind is on its own ebbing and flowing.
So the excessive thought, because that, if you understand neurology at the same time.
Whether positive or negative.
Huh.
A clear mind, not a lot of thought.
Mm.
Not a lot of, other words, thinking.
What you're talking about is anxiety. Because the thoughts create anxiety. The faster the thoughts, the more the thoughts, the anxious the thoughts.
Oh yeah,
the
less I don't want to get there. Oh, here it comes.
The less confident we are.
Which is just a thought.
Yeah, But then being aware of the automatic thoughts, aware of the processes of the brain, neurology, biology, mixed with the thought controls, etc. And I understand, I get it. So being, you know what I see, you know, you see this in a lot of fields, anywhere from anthropology to a lot of places. Mm-hmm. It's for so long we've had specialists studying that. Like you go to school, you get your doctorate. You know, I am a geologist. This is my study. Yeah. I'm a astronomer. This is my study. And they go so far down in their own rabbit holes, etc., that they only see their world or their study from their own view or their own study even.
Right.
And what I'm starting to see nowadays, I want to quote the guy. Oh, man. Again, Brian, is it Denning? Anyway, maybe we'll add it in there. But anyway, he started looking at all the specialists and all of the focuses, excuse me, and all the focuses, and then pulling them together, kind of saying, they're saying this, they're saying this. Here's kind of what I'm gathering. And I'm seeing more and more of that happening. People that are gathering the groups, and that kind of seems where you're coming from, is a person that has walked all of those seminars, walked this path, the positive thinking path, the mindfulness path, the psychedelic path. We've walked them all and kind of saying, this is what they're all really boiling down to.
Yeah. But most, well, all of them, you know, it's, again, this is what I've seen for myself.
Yeah.
And I've understood it. And by understanding it is what made sense why I never did become a victim of my childhood stuff. Because while everybody else was telling me that I needed to do something with it, I just didn't. Mm. Now they would have said, oh, you're in denial. I just didn't do anything with it. Why would I need to take a thought of what happened to me at 5 and do anything with it? Because if you know that I'm not feeling good right now because I just have a lot on my mind and there's nothing to do about it. The thing is where people get stuck is they think they're supposed to fix something that's not broken.
Ooh.
Ooh. Why would you fix something that's not broken? You just got a lot of energy in your head, aka thinking, aka you're fixated on a lot of thoughts.
Mm.
But since we don't understand the thought feeling connection, we think there's a circumstance feeling connection. There isn't. Nobody can transmit stuff to you.
Mm.
But of course, as you're seeing it, you're feeling what you're seeing, and it happens so quick, you just don't, you know?
Yeah. I would go to some, that's kind of leaning toward the masturbation ideas, that the world tells me I must be sick because I lived in this environment. I must be angry because this happened to me.
Of course, because the environment, it made me feel not good. It hurt my feelings. It affected me.
So because that affected me, I must have damage.
Yeah. So as long as you haven't understood it or been made aware or have had your own slight insight, you're always going to be at the effect as long as you think that your feelings are coming from the and not just coming from
your processing of it.
Yeah. For me, it's like, oh, I mean, you know, when I start feeling bad, all that's letting me know is I got a lot on my mind and it's skewing up my view.
What do you do when you get there?
I don't do anything.
Okay.
I just understand that, like on a roller coaster.
It's just then.
If you've never ridden a roller coaster and you're on the top of the hill and you start going down.
Yeah.
Since you've never been on it, you start seeing that it's going down. So what do? You cope.
Squeeze your ass cheeks a little tighter.
You pull the brake and you stop when you just didn't know that it just trends back up on its own. When left alone. The mind is built to self-correct.
When
you understand that that's the way that it works.
I've referenced this paper I wrote years ago all the time, that the invention of marketing was the ruin of man, because marketing is almost has to find a way to convince you you're incomplete, to sell you anything.
Wow.
Whatever that is, at some level. Basically, when I'm in a marketing meeting, we're sitting around going, how can we convince the users of our product that they're incomplete without this? And so that whole paper was on the research of when marketing came out, when we started spending like crazy, spending money more, buying more things. It runs the economy. The idea of inequality and incomplete runs this economy. Mm-hmm. And has been sold to us. I mean, Look, I find myself when I watch a Kettle One commercial going, damn, I'm a loser. You know what I mean? You're watching and we live the life, right?
But that's normal though.
Right. Right. And understanding.
As long as you don't start, you know, like trying to fix why you said that.
Right.
It'll just go away.
Right. Oh, okay. So I can see where somebody would
go. I'm not like saying, oh, we're always going to be.
I must have a self-esteem problem because I don't. Ah, see.
You just got a lot of shit on your mind.
Right.
And I remember thinking back to my dad.
Or their marketing is working.
Well, you know, I don't know if they really understand, but if they intuit that, man, if we can make people feel stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't know it. They don't know that it's just them by seeing our advertisement.
That's it. That's it. It's like what is that era of beer commercials where everything looked like a Friends episode? Everyone was beautiful. Everyone was happy. Everyone was in style in their own little world. Right? It was. I've never walked up to a party and my six friends all high-fived me at once and tossed me a beer, and we all happened to wear a different color flannels. Like that never happens to me. All right? But you know, watching, you're like, I am such a loser. Yeah. That guy has so many fucking friends and he's so cool. And you're like, but that's the pitch. That's where it pushes you in this idea that when marketing came around convincing you you're broken, you're incomplete without this. I mean, and then what's the response to that is a whole new economy that tells you how to fix what's broken with you on this end.
What comes
interesting, man.
Yeah. What comes to mind is, you know, if you've ever read any type of spirituality stuff, the sages always say it the same thing. So just look within. They're not telling you, well, you need to get the book for five steps or cope or talk about your past. They're just saying, look within, you know?
Yeah. That's essentially what my entire book says, is just question you, ask yourself those questions, see what you come up with, and investigate yourself. Don't just believe what they're throwing at you and find a way to process that.
Damn.
You know what it is, man, is it's the truth kicker that people, it's hard. It's funny why we always use roller coasters to explain shit. But my favorite line is there is no truth. You know, if someone rides a roller coaster and said it wasn't scary at all, I ride it and say that was the scariest ride of my life. Who's telling the truth?
Right.
It's perceived to be. And for the notion that most people can't come to grips with is that idea, is the idea that there is no fucking truth. It's what I perceived it to be.
Life is just a roller coaster in our mind. We're feeling our thinking.
Oh, but if you listen
to... We're not feeling our world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But if you listen to these people, right, I have to still my thoughts. I have to become balanced and...
More thinking.
Right. More thinking to heal thinking.
More thinking. So if...
Interesting.
I'm trying to help people understand that we're designed to work optimally.
With already
our head clear. Okay. So why would you put more stuff on it?
Okay.
Whether positive or negative.
How do you clear your head?
Well, I always cleared it with music.
I do too.
But then the music isn't clearing my head.
What's it doing?
It's telling you different stories.
Well, the music is it's just probably distracting me a little bit of whatever I was thinking about.
To bring down the red line a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And then our mind clears.
Huh.
That's what I've seen for myself.
So you distract yourself.
No. I was always doing something. Okay. You know what I mean? I always did, you know, basketball or whatever, or music. I love music. That's my son's a DJ. But I love music.
Yeah.
But in the last 2 years, it's just like, holy shit. It's on its own. It looks like it's the music, you know? It looks like it's the drugs. And it's so simple that if you try to, like, get it intellectually, that's not true. Because you think, well, my feelings are being created. They're at the effect of me listening to music. That's why I feel better. When I really didn't know that the mind just works on its own. It's built to self-correct.
But we have been sold this idea that we need to correct it.
Of course, we need to correct the busy, the clarity. Yeah. We're either in two places, clarity, clutter. And they're both normal. Nothing to do. There's nothing to do.
I like that, clarity and...
Clarity and clutter.
Okay.
A lot of thinking, not fluid thinking. A lot of thinking about everything at once.
Mm.
Clear head, not a lot of energy going through there. Energy, or also known as thought.
Mm-hmm.
So down here, clutter, a lot of energy. It's just where you're at.
Yeah.
And it's just so simple and so unseen that it just, like, I don't know.
Well, I can't sell a book.
It gets drowned out by
every... I can't sell a book then. I can't bring you to a seminar. If I just simply tell you that your mind is going to be here and here sometimes, so...
I know. Where can it not go? As long as there's a person in it, especially sports.
Mm-hmm.
In the zone.
Yeah.
Is a clear mind.
Yeah, that's true. Well, flow state. I mean, I'm a huge advocate of flow, and what they're discovering now with Stephen Kotler, Jamie Wheelie's people is, you know, when someone is reaching the flow, the brain is shutting off. That it literally less
that's
energy.
Cool.
They used to think that when you would hit this peak flow, this fluid flow state, that the brain lit up more. It's actually the reverse. Is the more you deeper you go into flow, the brain actually shuts down further.
Well, it doesn't need to process anything.
Well, then they're studying it, which
that's
is
cool.
Points to your point is that it just naturally would want to go, because I'm a freestyle poet. I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched cool. The brain imagery where they've put the brain sensors and watching the brain. Yeah. And they're and the guy's freestyling. You see the brain typical. And what also a lot of people don't understand either, Dr. Carl Hart brought up on the show, mm-hmm. is they use a picture a lot of times to talk about methamphetamine. They show this blue brain and all this yellow, and then another blue brain with some concentrated yellow. And they're like, brain on meth, brain not on meth. And he's like, that's a normal differentiation. That's obvious. Like, and anyone in a room could have this separation. They just make it look like something. And so that light up is always changing, like you're saying. And it's doing something now. If we could mm-hmm. scan at all of our brains, by the time we walk this podcast, your shit may look like mine was when we started, and we'll all change. But the more there's finding is that when you deeper and harder you go into flow, the guy starts rhyming, and you see the brain go blue. He's no lighting up, and he's just spitting. And the quicker and more deeper he was into his flow state, the more you would see it just calming down. But it's a
calming.
That's
really cool.
Yeah, and they're fine at surfing, these X Games type people. Uh-huh. Stephen Kotler was an X Games journalist follower for a long time. He followed these people around. He's the guy behind them on the snowboard taking pictures, you know?
Right.
And I can see why they chase that flow. They're shutting their mind off, literally, by doing this, you know, black diamond ski thing, you know what I mean? Which I would never fucking do, you know, but it's chasing that silence through chaos.
That's already there.
Wow.
That's already there. You don't have to do something to get there.
Yeah.
Meditation. I need to meditate. No, anything that you try to do, you have to think.
Right. You got to process it.
So why would you add more thinking to something that's just there naturally? And that it's ebbing, you can't control.
Are we talking about coming to grips? Is that basically what we're telling people, is coming to grips with the understanding you're not broken and you will function in a fluid state?
Right. Whether they think their life is just in the dumps, they're still okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because only the world's telling them they're not okay, because
right.
you haven't performed this social construct, and you haven't performed here. You're not giving back. You're not adding to the world, right? They sell us, but I guess we have to have that notion. Otherwise, there's no economy, right? There's no push to compete.
I get it, but...
I had to make the argument.
No, I get it, but...
I'm not saying I agree. I just had to make the argument.
Like, even, you know who William James is? He's like the father of psychology.
Proceed.
He said, one of his quotes was, the day that they find principles to the human mind is the day that, like, change is going to be understood.
Mm.
And there's principles.
Yeah.
This is the guy, father of psychology.
Yeah, right now we don't know. We're so infantile in our study of the mind and the brain. It's like, I've had some of the best on here come mm-hmm. on and say, look, there's no way to scan the brain to tell if you have a mental disorder. Maybe ADHD, we're getting close, but otherwise, no. We know this much about the brain, and there's fucking vast to know. And so I think what he's saying is when we understand the brain and how it functions enough in our thoughts to know, to be able to apply
yeah.
direct principles, then we can do something.
As you notice, when I'd say about our head being full, I didn't say with what kind of thoughts, like childhood, trauma. You know, I didn't distinguish between a positive or a good. I just said when we have a lot on our mind.
Okay.
Even if that's...
Why didn't you?
Because it's just a thought.
Still subjective anyway.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's just energy flowing through your head.
Yeah. And we put that our perception
that
filter
that we do not have control. Everybody tries to control their thinking.
Right.
They try to control it.
Yeah.
They try to manipulate it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think reframing thoughts is definitely a tool in a present, but for the most part, I think the way it's pitched off to people is this idea that, you know, I can sit there and just think good thoughts, which I can. I can't control what I think. Now, I used to, some people are getting mad at this, when I would treat in the rehab centers, they were big on positive affirmations in the mirror.
I get it.
And I used to think it was creepy that you would wake up in the morning and say 15,000 things to yourself over and over in the mirror. And I said, well, what I want you to do is generally what comes after the positive thought that you say in your mind is the opposite. You go, you are a positive and strong person, you piece of shit. You will do well today. It's going to be a shitty day. And you're like, I'm going to not argue with anybody. Fuck that person. You know what I mean? That you think about. And it kind of comes. And that's the automatic thought. But I do believe that thought control is only to a point that we can then frame it. But the more important part is understanding that, A, we're just framing it, so you can think all the positive shit you want, but you're just framing it, but also understanding, and that also means that if I'm framing it to be shitty, then I'm also just framing that too.
Right. Which we, if we just understood that it's just thought temporarily giving us an experience.
Right, that we don't have to do. You know, that's some of the best advice I've given before, and I give to myself a lot. Yeah. Is, you know, I've talked to even people from Dollar Mental Health Club, people I've worked with, and, you know, they've walked me through basically convincing me why they have to do something.
Right.
And they get to the end and I just go, just stop for a second. You don't have to do anything. You can just be. What do you got to do? And they're kind of like, shit, you're right.
That's why none of the coaching programs that I learned, I could ever do it.
Oh.
I just couldn't do it.
What was the best one you went through? What was the one where you almost were in? You're like, I like this. I'm grabbing it. I can feel this.
It was Dr. DeMartini out of South Florida, because he was the first one that I had come across that mixed psychology with spirituality.
Mm, enlighten me, bro. He's new to me.
Like, I could hear him talking about, you know, how we compare ourselves. You know, when we put ourselves in the pit, and we put other people on pedestals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also spoke about values. Mm-hmm. But he mixed in, he sort of was saying something like, you know, that we already have the things that we're buying books about.
Yeah.
So that was like, okay, that it piqued my interest, but it still didn't, because it was still prescriptive.
Mm.
Prescription.
Yeah. What's his name?
Dr. DeMartini.
Yeah, doctor, I meant to write that down.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I'm sitting back and listening, and it just cracks me up, because if you change some of the words that you were saying, the argument that you're having is spirituality and religion. That's really what you're talking about. When I'm listening to what you're saying, it's like you have to do, you have to be, you got to do. This, and this.
Oh, don't, like religion tells you what to do.
Religion says don't smoke cigarettes, don't have sex before marriage, don't do this. And spirituality says be one with the universe, be one with God, be one with yourself. Through the turmoil, it tells you, you know, Christianity is Jesus, it gives you peace beyond all understanding. Jesus says in the Bible fear not.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid?
Hmm.
I'm here. Like, everything that you think is going on doesn't matter. Like, this is not, you know, things of the world are inconsequential things. You know, you talk about, people go, oh, well, the Bible was written by man. And then the religious or the faithful, you know, believers say, no, it's written by the Spirit of God.
Yeah,
through
right.
man. And then when you're talking about flow state, you're like, they're finding out through science that the mind actually shuts off and that all these things are coming out and it's just crazy. And I'm just thinking, that's what spirituality has been talking about forever is,
yeah,
it's not you. It's something in you coming out of you. It's an automatic. It's already there. Christ is like, I'm already in you. the love and the peace is in you. And when you go,
right,
you don't have to learn it. It's just, it comes out. Well, if you let it, then.
Here, dude, I'll be.
I totally agree. Yeah.
When I'm hearing you guys talking, I'm just like, yeah, religion, spirituality, that's the two come together.
Check it out. I'll even give away at the end of the first edition of the book I put out something you'll appreciate. So at the very last part of the book, so at the end, I do a little note from me, but damn. Yeah, let's see. It speaks right to the point you're saying. Let me see. Thanks for taking this journey with me, taking a chance on yourself and me. If any of this resonated with you, it was not me. You listened. Without that, these are just words and this is just noise.
Totally.
I love you. You're the superhero.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I'm even at the end of my own shit, I'm going, look, if this resonated with you at all, it was your own wisdom. You already knew it, but you listened. Otherwise, it's just fucking noise and letters that doesn't mean a damn thing. The power's in you.
Yeah. I mean, we could end it right there.
Boom.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is the excessive need, though, for the human to confuse it? For the human species to go, you just don't understand my problems because this is a... What is the need to cloud it, almost? It's almost like there's this need, right? You know, this need to bring in drama, this need to make it impossible, this need to cloud up what is so simple, seemingly.
You know, the only thing I could say is because we just believe. We just believe the thoughts that we're having.
Like
there's something to do about it.
Mm.
Well, and you want other people to believe or understand what you're going through. That's why I think people go, no, see, because in my situation, see, there's this. So you don't want to be the crazy one. I want you to go.
Confirm that you're crazy?
I get it.
That's what I'm saying.
I get it. You want somebody to go.
Validation.
You're right. You should be wanting to beat your face in with a pipe because.
Right.
Because your life is so horrible. Oh, thank God I'm not you. I think some people want people to say that so they go, see, I'm not crazy. I'm not, I am broken. They want that affirmation that they are broken so they can keep doing what they're doing.
Mm.
Because because people have told them and they believed it or whatever.
The external locus of control is if I can pin it on a reason I'm wrong. The external locus of control thought is that I basically don't control anything I think, do, believe that if I'm wrong, it's because of you, that it's all outside, that person's just lucky. I don't control, you know, it's that external that I control nothing.
Yeah. When I don't feel good and if you're around me when I'm not feeling good.
Must be you.
It's you.
Yeah.
You're the one making me feeling when I've just got a lot on my mind. That's a big difference from saying it's you that's giving me the feeling and it's just understanding, oh, I just have a lot on my mind.
AKA narcissist. That's right, the narcissist. That's the only reason I was wrong here is because of all of these people were wrong to begin with and the scientists were wrong. All of the research is wrong. They just don't understand because I didn't get to tell them.
Yeah.
And you're like, geez, wow, okay, all right, because it's not you. I got it. But then, you know, that's, man, we do have this obsessive need to cloud it and make it, I don't know, maybe, my mom's right. I love my mom, man. She's our greatest strength, greatest weakness. And I that stuck with me forever. And this idea that I think as a human being, one of our, other than the thumb, is the idea that we can assign meaning, that we can give meaning to something.
Of course.
But that seems like also a curse, right? It seems like our greatest strength, greatest weakness is our greatest strength is I can apply meaning to my existence, my life, that moment, this relationship, this time, that time. And a bear can't do that. A bear, this is very primal. It's very just forward moving, you know, living as far as we know. But this idea that we can assign meaning seems to make us fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like literally everything you're saying, it just keeps drawing me back to scripture. Just draws me back to like things that they were talking about 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. In Genesis, it talks about there were two trees in the garden, the tree of life, which, you know, is the representation of Christ. And then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which leads to death. Yeah. And if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And there's a book called There Are Two Trees in the Garden by Rick Joyner. And he talks about in the book, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Of knowing that shit even exists,
that leads to death. It's not doing bad. It's not doing good. It's you, in your brain, knowing what you feel is good and what you feel is bad is what kills you.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Well, I said
and,
a while ago.
And when
ago,
they ate of the fruit, they looked down and saw that they were naked and covered themselves.
Shit, I
wouldn't. But they were always naked.
So they became self-conscious.
So it's the understanding.
So they took their eyes off of...
It's understanding, yeah. Like you've been saying,
well,
I guess.
Well, they took their eyes off of God and they put it on themselves on how I'm not good enough or I am good. And then you get self-righteousness or self-loathing. Oh, like, well, I'm doing everything perfect. I must be great. Or I'm doing everything horrible. Oh, my God, I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
And hence God's right. And in this, the, you know, God is like, no, it's out of you. It's not you. It's... Look this way, not at you, because what you think you are is irrelevant.
Yeah, I can see God looking at me and be like, Adam, look, it's not you, it's me, all right? I'd be like, did you just break up with me? I'm like, what the fuck?
No, but when God says it, it's different. He's like, no, it's not you, it's me. Like, come to me, don't focus on you, come to me.
It's not you, it's me, bro. Yeah. I'd be like, well, welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. This is your host, God. No, but I've said it before, though, that they had to tell story. Because, look, I got to assume, I don't know, it would be assuming to say that we're smarter than they were then. Maybe we've just always been the same smarts, whatever. But trying to explain something that our feeble mind couldn't understand, right? I can see God being real impatient and being like, look, I don't want to explain this shit to you because, honestly, you're going to figure this shit out in, like, 6 million years. And other than that, let me just look, just so you can write this shit down, there was, like, a garden, there was a tree thing, some miraculous shit happened, you're going to be like, what the fuck? And we're so, how can we make them say that? A snake was talking. Yeah, and then a fruit, and then awareness, and they'll get it. They'll get it later. But and then 2,000 years later, we're like, they're fucking out of their minds. What do you mean a fucking snake was talking, a bush was burning? They were on drugs. You know what I mean? And then now 2,000 years from now, they're going to look back and they're like, they're fucking crazy. What are you talking about, Big Bang? What do you mean? You know what I mean? Or whatever it was. They're going to look back going, they were out of their fucking minds. And that's how we look back. And I wish I could see 2,000 years from now when we're looking back and they're going, they really thought it just blew up. They're just like... And when you look at either story, they're both kind of like, well, that's a little fucking crazy too. Like, I'm made of stardust and we just exploded in space and I'm here. Or maybe God just didn't want to explain it, knew we'd figure it out. And he was like, rib and dirt and together made people. And then they were like, how the fuck did that happen? He's like, don't worry, you'll figure it out in like 6,000 years.
But, all right? But the funny part is that the more science talks about it, the more science goes, oh, well, there was the collapse. There was a nothingness. And from the nothingness exploded everything. And that was the Big Bang.
And I'm no scientist. I can't speak to any of that shit either.
And they're like, oh, but, you know, but that's what it was. And and then the science goes, oh, well, obviously.
You're giving the Cliff Notes here. Because I was basically giving the Cliff Notes to Genesis 2.
Right? Yeah. But obviously in that nothingness, you know, obviously there couldn't have been a
Cliff, by the way.
He was a rich man. That's who Cliff is.
I've always wondered what the fuck Cliff was.
But it went from nothing to everything, and then through billions of years, you know, now we have the galaxies.
Look, I've eaten enough mushrooms. Like those prophets were eating mushrooms. Mm. Those prophets were on some shit. I'm sorry.
It's all part of the land.
I've sat and listened to my boy's story when he came back from Burning Man. It was real similar. Oh, wow. You know what I mean? Paul's listening to Mark to write his verse. They're all kind of listening to their friends, but it was like, you know, look, dude, let me tell you about my Burning Man trip 5 years ago. I got to tell you, this guy I saw, I swear to you, he's walking on water, bro. It was insane. They only had one piece of bread, but everybody was fucking eating. It was crazy. The cup never went empty. You know what I mean? I'm like, was that Burning Man? Where the fuck were you at, bro? You know what I mean? And like, the trip is almost the same, literally. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you know, each prophet didn't write one, and they did. These are stories told back sometimes years ago. I mean, I can see them all sitting around, and be like, oh, let me tell you about what happened in fucking Babylon, man. Wow, this bitch turned to salt, bro. I saw it. She was walking. He was like, don't look back, bitch. She did. Done. It was a wrap. Like, man. I mean, but it's real. Like, and same stories. It fascinates me, man. All of that stuff fascinates me. Whether anything is all, but, I mean, but our obsessive need to complicate fucking everything.
Our intellect?
Right, there it is.
Our intellect.
Right, okay.
But we've made it into the bad.
Well, that speaks to what you did. Yeah, that speaks to what you did. You chased intellect and found yourself fucked up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Without letting just how I was going up and down naturally just to be.
Like technology, right? Is it good for us or is it what's fucking us? It can help, right?
It totally can help.
Yeah.
I'm still not going to say that it's hurting us because it's not.
Right, right. It's the evolution of it, right? It's like, who knows?
We just don't see that it's not making us feel any particular way.
Except really when you're falling down in the Apple store with the virtual reality shit.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We're so quick to want to give this shit up. We modulate our mood from day one. You know what I mean? I'm a kid going, fuck this existence. I want to walk. Fuck crawling. You know what I mean? And we do that naturally. Then we're like, I'm walking. Fuck this. I want to drive. This is too slow. We're forever modulating what we naturally can do. We have this drive to go faster for some odd fucking reason, to get higher for some fucking reason. Yeah. Like this drive to do what?
To feel better.
Ugh.
And it's so like, oh, that's not interesting.
Right. I can't sell a podcast.
Your entire experience of what you think is out there is happening inside of you. And it's happening by itself.
Without you.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You already have all the happiness you think when you're going to get to where you think you're supposed to go to get what you think you want to have and do with what you want with the people that you're with.
Right.
Now.
Right now.
Back
right.
When you were born, too.
I saw this meme yesterday on... I almost posted it, but it seemed too dark. But for me, I laughed when I saw it. It was not a meme. It was just a comic book strip. And there was four at the top and four at the bottom, little squares. And it starts out as a baby. And then it's a woman, a bad character drawing, a comic book, your Sunday paper looking comic. And it's a baby and then a little older, then spaces it out by like four decades and then older and at the bottom. So you see the baby and it's like, all right. And then you see the stages with no words. And the very last one is the old lady dying. And it's like, well, that sucked. It was just like this here. Yeah, well, that sucked. You know what I mean? It's like a wrap. Like, it's this journey real quick. You go through it. You're like, at the end, like, well, fucking, that was shitty. I just now figured everything out. Now I'm dead. You know what I mean? You're laying on the deathbed, I think, when you figure it all out.
Well, Socrates said, you know, was it 400-something B.C., the only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Yeah.
Like if we would have just went like,
but we can't accept,
sounds about right.
But we can't accept
that. We don't
accept it.
Yeah, we don't know nothing, but where does wisdom come from?
Is knowing that you know nothing.
Right. But it's there.
Yeah.
Already.
Knowing that you don't know nothing, and wisdom is just coming from nowhere.
Which means you already have it.
Yeah.
Bam.
As long as your mind is clear.
But we can't accept
As long as
that.
Your mind is clear.
Oh, no. I still live in Section A housing. I'm not married yet. I don't have a career. I haven't written my book yet. So I can't have, you know, I can't have arrived. I will have arrived when I have all my debt paid off. I'm invested. And I can live for myself and start my own business. And I am my own boss. And travel the world at the same time as being a minimalist.
You know what the biggest problem with being your own boss is? It's that you're a horrible boss.
Yeah.
Like, you don't make yourself do jack.
That makes me an awesome boss.
That's most cool. People.
Yeah.
I'm an most awesome boss.
I just did what I wanted to do.
Like
in my office, I'd play music for my customers. At 12, I'd give them food. You're like, are these his friends or are these his clients? What's going on?
But most people who go into business for themselves are like, I want to be my own boss, are just horrible bosses.
I think it's important.
Because a boss has to do work, like has to make themselves work.
Right. Right.
And like get up and do it. And most people are like, well, I'm a boss. I got to do jack. Snooze. And then their business fails and they don't know why.
Well, apparently they can go the other way, right? I'm still interested, man. That's fascinating to me because I know there's so many people that are like, there's got to be a word for them, man, like seminar warriors that are this life optimizers. They're like biohackers and stuff. They're just constantly, and it's kind of me.
What are they hacking?
Yeah, what's already there?
They're hacking things that have already been created.
Yeah.
They're hacking. How can you hack a thought?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You see all these guys answer that. How can you hack it?
Yeah.
You can. Well, just like you can understand it.
You dissect it so you can figure out what it is, which is understanding it.
Well, I tried to dissect it.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. Just shut me down. I just had what everybody else associates as a nervous breakdown.
Because I think you go from here's this thought, and then you cut it in half and go, okay, that's where that came from. But then the obsessive compulsive goes, okay, well, but where did those two halves come from? And then you start going down into a micro level of like, but how did that happen?
Right.
Which is all of that is irrelevant.
Yeah.
But it's now cluttered you up to where it's like, it's instead of one thing, it's now 8,000 things on the table that you've got to put back together somehow.
When you understand that there's nothing to do about the clutter, everything else is telling you, you need to get rid of those thoughts.
Because you really can't do anything.
And so you're trying to override a system that you know, your psychological immune system operates on its own.
Mm.
When you try to get in the way, you're just, because you just didn't know that I didn't need to do anything about it. But everywhere is telling you need to do something with it, about it, take this for it. Oh, you have this. To me, it makes sense. Bipolar.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're never up here. Never up here. I mean, we can make ourselves up sense and feel like we are, but we're always up and down. And if you know that down is just it's normal, just like being up. There isn't anything to do. And when you understand that the system work on its own, however you can hear that, you'll just, the mind has just built itself correct. It wants us to go, it wants us to be whatever, happy, playful, loving.
Well, happy becomes a construct too. I mean, it's a state of a mind in a moment. It's not something we are or become. Like humility. We're not humble people that we practice being humble or humility.
Exactly. So that's where I totally got it where, yeah, I'm just ever feeling how clear or not clear my mind is.
I love that breakdown, the clear or not clear. And it's pure separation. You're not really in the middle. It's either I'm clear or not clear.
No, there's...
We're not going clear here, right? You're not a Scientologist.
There's just no wiggle room.
All right, I didn't hear you say no. You're not a Scientologist, are you?
No.
Okay.
It was great to see how this guy created his stuff, but no. I've gone through everything. I wanted to see. I'm like, oh, wow, so they're a little machine. And again, thetas, it's just...
Right? Theta band? Theta,
yeah.
I am not backing this because they are insane cults that will find you and delete you. No, I'm just kidding, but yeah. Sort of. I was going to ask you, we may have answered it, what's the craziest seminar type motivation self person you went to where you were like, excited and you were like, what the fuck?
Landmark.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to the Landmark Forum.
What is that?
Landmark Forum is where you go and you hear some local person.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about all the stuff they learned and how Landmark made them a better person. And really it's just, you know, well, you know, are you interested? You know, and they're literally just knowing that they can scare you because you don't know that you can't be scared. And right. They're just scaring you into, yeah, you do. No, but you do have a problem. No, you do. And it's going to be Landmark. And it's just... Like, I had a family member in it, and she was just like a zombie.
When you say in it, what is it? Is it programs and all this shit to buy?
You're broke, and I'm going to convince you that you are. Because we all are. We're all broke. You know?
Yeah.
And so they just, every program, just, you know, that's why when I was, you know, in the Tony Robbins thing from 2011 to 2013, you know, on the fire team, and I did it the youth, I just couldn't tell them it was bullshit. Because everybody was like,
worshiping the dude.
And, you know, I respect what he did. I mean, he just took other people's, Richard Bandler, NLP, and he created cool stuff, but...
Who's some of the guys he jacked?
Richard Bandler.
Oh,
He, the him and, I forgot who was the other guy who created, the co-creators of the NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
See, I've done videos on this dude. I say he was jacking researchers.
Viktor Frankl. I mean, I found some other guy who was with hypnosis. Hmm. So he's just like, the only thing that ever resonated with what he said is when Tony would cry. I'm like, oh, cool. Look, he's a human. That was like, wow. But I knew, I didn't say
you were on the team with this dude for like 2-3 years.
I was at his youth leadership camp for kids all over the country that just had some of the most atrocious things happen to him.
How old were you?
This was in 2011.
Oh, that's fucked.
A few years ago. 2011.
Yeah.
And some of the, you know, pretty much everybody was just getting there and automatically going into coach mode with all the kids. Oh, you've been, yeah, we just need to reframe you. We need to take you back. And then we're going to have the group hug you. And then that's going to anchor the feeling of love in you as if you didn't have it. Or reconnect to what? When was I ever disconnected?
They sell you that, don't they? You're disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been through trauma. But you're disconnected socially, Dr. Gabor Mate.
Yeah.
That's his favorite trauma theory, would say.
You know, and
But aren't we disconnected from it at some point with society and the way that we're taught to perceive or not taught to perceive?
How can you not perceive?
Mm.
But if you're you are perceiving, but when they're saying you've got to reconnect with it, in aspects of it, it makes sense because obviously you're in a state where you don't feel.
Right.
You aren't receiving, at least in your mind, your perception is you're not receiving love. You're not receiving acceptance. And because maybe you have been told your whole life that you're horrible, that you're miserable, whatever. So there is a sense of you've got to get that back because you have given it away. But if no one knows how to, like you said, let it go, clear the mind, accept it, then it will forever elude them because they're going to be down the rabbit hole like you were, chasing their tail.
When I didn't know that it was just like a principle of how it works.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know? If they don't have that principle, then they're going to be like everybody else and lost. And
right, so like like what you just said, what came to me was like, well, I know where you're at and I understand. Because when your mind is clear, there's no sense of disconnection.
Mm. Damn, you keep coming back to it. I got it. Yeah.
So your mind is clear. You know,
how do we clear our minds?
You're not even like, am I disconnected? Am I? Should I? What I need to do to get back? No, you're just banging life.
Sometimes you're connected, sometimes you're not. Right. Sometimes you have friends, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're in love, sometimes you're not.
I mean, in the sense of, like, for me, it's my being is who I am, and I go. I'm going through life forward, regardless of what I want to do, and that's life. Ups and downs, the valleys. That's good. Horrible things, awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's just my journey. That's the journey that I'm on. I'm on this ship, and you know, I've got a little rudder that I can maybe go a little this way and that way. But I'm not gonna. Yeah, you know, who knows what's gonna come next? That I don't care.
But, well, they'll make you believe that you can. Let's do your vision board.
Yeah. But some of those people who don't know, I assume that they feel, because I've been there before. I felt like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and you know, you're lost. But someone has to impart through sharing reality.
You're talking about truth. The aha moment. Who delivers the aha moment?
The aha moment either comes from you at some miraculous point where it happens, or someone can go, you don't have to go through 7 years of personal development. Here's what the answer, you know, that share their story. Cause that's part of life, is sharing your story with everybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of those people, the Tony Robbins and the self-help people, I feel like a lot of them feel like they figure it out. Here's the hack and I'm going to share it, but I got to live, you know, but then maybe they get a little taken too away with that, to where now like, oh, I'm the answer. instead of, no, this has been the answer. It's always been the answer.
Well, hence his last video that he put out, just to make sure.
Fucking ridiculous.
I'm not your guru.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even though the whole fucking thing is about him being a fucking guru and how he reaches and touches people. Dude, just the cover of that
shit. I know for a fact that I can't give you anything. There's nothing I need to give you, and there's nothing you need to get from me.
Mm.
Now, if I've had my own experience into the nature of what it is of the human experience and how it's created, and I've seen it for myself, understood it, not read it. Oh, yeah, I get that intellectually, mind, consciousness, and thought. Yeah, we're alive, we're awake, and we're aware. Anybody can do that. That's why if you look at kids, kids are the perfect example of where we can be at any moment.
Mm. Fuck yeah.
One moment,
and here comes
the world is amazing. Take away something from them, they're crying. I mean, it's a total shitstorm.
Yeah.
We're making hot dogs. They're back.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't cope. They didn't learn how to get out of there. They
didn't reframe their
thought. They didn't need to talk about it. I need to get this out.
They didn't reframe their thought.
You know? It's because we do something about it, and we just keep hitting the gas pedal in the mud.
Holy shit, man. I dig it. I dig what you present, man. And for all of those fucking people, man, that walk down this fucking personal development world, I understand. I see it. I see what you're talking about, man.
The one of the guys that, he kind of uncovered it and he had his own enlightenment, he said that. Like, the moment after he had that experience, he turned around and looked at his wife. He says, we're going to change the face of psychology and psychiatry from here forward. Mm. I was like, wow, that's cool. But not because he did it. Not because, no, it's just like, well, because everybody's got it. We're born with innate mental health. We have a psychological immune system.
Yeah.
You know? We don't just have a body immune system. Our mind is made to clear, fill.
Well, dude, this takes me to the addiction issue I have, is convincing the people that you have a brain disease. Because you see that. You see the hardcore 12-steppers convince them.
That sounds so like, wow, oh, that's true.
Yeah, they convince you. You have a brain disease, you're born this way, et cetera, even though none of that's provable by any sense of the imagination. Like I already said, there is no test scan that goes, oh, look, you're an addict. We can tell by this brain imaging. I mean, this doesn't even exist, but they've convinced people that your brain, but they forget your brain, when you do a lot of drugs, your brain will get fucked up. But if you stop, your brain will fix itself and also be able to bring itself back. Mind you, stroke and, you know, head damage and shit like that hasn't happened.
Shit, I'm messed up now.
Right, you're right. As long as you haven't stroked out, you know, get 17 head, you know, hits in the head, etc. You know, that you've looked out, the brain will correct itself, but they convince you that you're powerless over drugs and alcohol, you have a brain disease, and the only way about that is to have a higher power that's greater than you, and go to these same places with the same people talking about the same things, even though we tell you to change your people, places, and things.
Yeah, go to the Himalayas and find yourself.
Right. Well, and I don't mean to beat up either on just the 12 steps. They all do. We all have our own. But I'm defending myself because I'm going to get shit for that.
The funny thing about all of that is they go, you're powerless and you can't. Now don't.
Right.
If you do this, you won't. You're powerless, you can't, but if you do this, you won't.
That's just
which means you can. You're capable. You're not powerless because you have something in you that will then go, no. No, thank you. Would I like some cocaine today? Not today. And if you just say you not today, then you will not do it today. If, I know there's lots of withdrawal symptoms and things like physical things that will make people want to, but
look, there is
a somethingness of if you have the desire, you can accomplish it.
Right, and the same because what you're saying is
your focus.
A lot of them tell you that you can't do anything because you're broken. So here, do all of this,
and you won't be broken, or you'll still be broken, but you won't do those things that you.
But you'll
we be, told you that you can't stop yourself from doing.
Mm.
You just be so busy.
I love it. You're in your back of your mind. You're here in the plane.
I'm really listening to you guys. Yeah,
and you're like, you're gonna have a lot of shit to do.
You're just gonna be really busy.
And that's essentially what 12 Steps is doing. It's keeping you busy. You go to meetings. You go to people. You write the stuff down. You do your affirmations. It's keeping your mind busy.
I'm an alcoholic. No, you're not.
Yeah, I agree.
You just thought that the good feeling that you were getting from alcohol was coming from the alcohol when it was just coming from the momentary thing where your mind just took over and said, oh, boom. Mm. And you're associating it to the alcohol.
Well,
you're associating it to the drugs.
When your mind shut off and you had fun.
Because I literally had no... I wasn't pondering anything. I wasn't trying to figure anything out.
The alcohol killed the brain cells enough for you to go and just have a good time. And then you like that feeling. Of not thinking and just having a good time.
Well,
you keep drinking.
There's a great point, though, because what we're all really looking to do, right, is get off of work, go to our relaxing thing, right? Go on the vacation, go on the job. Also, we don't have to do what? Think. Right? We're all just trying, I'm going to go to the beach today, and I'm just going to not think. I'm going to just lay there. And it seems like that's what we're all chasing anyway as the prescription we give ourselves.
But we're chasing something that's in the part of chasing.
Right there.
It's
right.
It's like... Yeah, you're just going back around and chasing your tail.
Yeah, we're chasing. I say that we're all in a hurry to go nowhere. We're in a hurry to do nothing. You see people running out the door, running late because they got to sit in the car for 5 hours on a road trip. Or they're hauling ass to the airport to get there so they can sit on the plane for 12 hours. We're all in this rush to do nothing and go nowhere or sit still. And it seems like we're all what I'm really saying is it seems like we're chasing what you're prescribing, even though it's already there. Is we're chasing, I can't wait to have enough money to where I can work for myself, have relaxed time, take vacation, whatever. When I can just, you know, even go into flow state, when I can surf all I want to, do everything I want to. We're all chasing that ideal. When really, if you look at it, all we're really saying is I can't wait till I don't have to think about all this shit.
Correct.
That's really all we're saying.
When you're not, because when you don't, you're good.
Right.
You're just good.
I can't wait till I go on vacation for 2 weeks so I don't have to think about all this shit for 2 weeks, and then I'll feel great.
And then we're going to think about a lot of shit. We're going to feel the course. We're feeling what we're thinking.
Yeah.
So you're just, but there's nothing to do about it because you know there's anything to do about it.
Wow.
You just got a lot on your mind. And the moment you don't, for me, it was just, there's moments where I was caught up. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, it's just, damn it. It's because of what I'm thinking about, what happened in the past. That's why I have a lot on my mind.
So Tony seems like the farthest one you got into. We talked about a couple of outlandish ones. Were there a couple, too, that have stuck with you, a couple things that maybe you pulled out of any other speaker or whatever?
Well,
maybe since you've been 7 years, spent all the money on all the big names and even worked with the big names on in their programs, what's like one or two that you would say, you know what, I'm glad I got this pebble or this tidbit. This was cool. You know, that maybe you could tell someone else that's now getting into this, you know, life optimizing world.
Well, it was the things that they said that correlated with the thoughts that I had. I just didn't say them.
Mm.
I was just like, wow, he sounds like I would like to be. But why am I not? But I have it, but what? So I need to get, and then every morning do my circle of gratitude, start with me, go out and go in this. I did get something. I don't want to bash them and say, you know, why don't you just tell people how their mind works and you don't have to sell them on the symptoms of it.
Well, but then that's assuming that they know.
Bam.
Exactly, but they have to know.
But they can't know.
If he is making a program where he is taking, and he knows that it's just the people with the stories, and then he has what he's called the breakthrough. When they, what are they realizing? Oh, everything that I came here to work on, oh, it was just thought.
Yeah, they just took a thought and went, oh, that person did it like this and went through it. Then they have their aha moment.
Right.
But really, the aha is self-created anyway.
Of course.
So we could technically, if they know then, we could create our aha when we change the perception to create our aha if we want to change what we believe.
Right.
But most people won't face what they believe or even know what the fuck they believe.
And behind that is our perceptions are totally based on our mood at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, if you've been broken up with, I'm going to think things that will make me feel sad because I think I should based on a construct that tells me in movies and everything I've been shown. Right. If I have a break, I'm supposed to cry and be sad.
Yeah, but you're just not supposed to do anything about it.
Right, you can't call them. Right, you have to just, well, you do. I have to move on. I got to get in shape. I got to get back out there.
Right.
Then again, because I got to fix it.
We don't know. We're just experiencing a temporal thought storm.
Whoa. So, I'm way backing you up here. I'm validating you here by this shit. So even again, it feels so scary to a lot of people because they feel like just when they end the relationship, or I'm just using that because we're on it, is then I have to do something when you don't have to fucking do anything.
No.
But so people, wow. Here we are back to the idea where feeling we have to do something about anything that is broken to begin with keeps us from changing anything to begin with already.
Because it's not broken.
Holy fuck.
And we're just getting in the way and slowing the whole system that's running on its own perfectly all the time. Birth, death.
So just basically go off what you're thinking, move on that, understand that they are thoughts that move through you.
That's it.
Oh, man.
And when you have a lot of them, you're not feeling well. And you're just saying it's that. Or you're looking for the thing so you can drink it so you can make it feel better.
I write in the book, bro. Yeah. You know why? Because humans don't want to fucking be wrong. And even if I can prove myself to be right that either I'm the bad person or the environment is why I'm doing it, and it sucks for me, I'm okay with that because I told you that in the beginning. I'll wake up in the morning and be like, this is going to be a shitty day, and then I'll make sure it was a shitty day, not so I can have a shitty day, but at the end I can be like, I was fucking right. I told you it was going to be a shitty day.
I think
day.
They call that like self-sabotage or...
Self-fulfilling prophecies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When we command that. But man, it's just... Can you imagine trying to convince the average American right now that of what we're saying, that all of this convoluted stuff that you think that it should be supposed to be all the... No, there's you got it right now. Just do
what,
that.
Like, I would even go out and say war. Why are we in war?
Yeah. And for resources because
I,
over money.
Because I actually believe that you can make... That you can alter and affect my feelings.
Mm.
So because I believe that, then I need to hurt you.
Change
it. To make myself feel better.
Well, and that's where the religious right and every, you know, all these things of your actions are destroying my life.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is why you can't, you know, which is why the abortion, the drugs, you know, outlawing of drugs and all these things of me controlling you so that you can't do drugs. I'm going to create a law so because you doing drugs is somehow destroying my fabric of reality.
Our enforcements of our own realities and beliefs. Look, it's fucking, it's kind of archaic. It's kind of ancient. You know what I mean? Isn't it? To have like this enforcement of a belief of what is right, what is wrong, what is supposed to be, what shouldn't be.
Yeah, but if you don't know what it how it occurs, where it occurs, and the, you know, if you don't know how something works,
yeah,
you're just making up how you think it works.
Which
then,
we do.
And then that's what you're feeding.
That's what we do. You hear them go, well, I know. I'm just who I am.
And I'm not saying something that you guys don't already know.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And you know what? I hear that a lot when I hear people talking about religion. Like you said, it's back to that. It's like the preacher saying, I'm not telling you nothing that you don't already know that's not already there.
Well, and that's what, you know, there's tons of people who they'll say that. And, I mean, there's even stories I've heard from like the 30s and the 40s where a preacher went into a town, you know, to evangelize, whatever, like in Africa, middle of nowhere, they'd never seen anybody. And he felt like God told him, don't tell me about them. And he's like, I'm a preacher. Like, you sent me out in the middle of freaking Africa and you don't want me to talk about you? And he goes, and he just like... just felt like, no, I'm not supposed to talk. So he just lived with them, worked with them in the village, whatever. Then he left after like 2 years. And then like 4 or 5 years later, another preacher came and was talking about Jesus and God and on. And the villagers were like, oh yeah, no, we know.
We know.
And they're like, how do you know? You said I'm the first one who's told you about this. And they're like, because there was a guy here who lived with us for 2 years told us all about him. Yet he never spoke. But they knew. But they knew. They knew everything that he was saying. They're like, no, it's in here. We know.
Well, you just literally took what I was just about to say. It's like, that's why I don't.
Steve does that.
That's why I don't talk about. Why would I talk about something that I just know? That's why I don't talk about God or none of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to keep rehashing it to try to remember something that I never forgot. You know?
Well, but isn't part of sharing so that you can connect with the other people so they know that they're not alone, that they're not, it isn't.
But you can be with them, but you need to tell them.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like.
Kind of like the first guy that hung out with the village.
One of my favorite quotes is by St. Francis of Assisi.
Oh, yeah.
And in the scripture says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere.
And eat mushrooms.
You and your mushrooms.
Jesus is a red mushroom.
St. Francis of Assisi, he adds on, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere. And if necessary, use words.
Bam.
And that one, I was like, oh, yeah, because that's what it's about. Live your life with others, and the thing in you is going to communicate with the thing in them, and they're going to know what you know.
Fuck, I can't do a podcast anymore, guys. Well, this has been the last Cognitive Rampage podcast.
No, I mean, it could be like one of
but see, even it's the more sharing, amazing. It's the sharing the you that connects with the other
bam
people. And if you don't share the you, then it's you in a cave going, I'm by myself.
All right.
When,
well, I'll share me then.
Share you. And what does that do? That creates the tribe.
Yep. That's totally.
Is right. This sharing me or no?
I don't know.
Well, then it's I'm not off camera anymore, so fuck it. You know what? There it is. There, I'm off camera. I've been told not to do that on camera by professional podcasters and everybody else. But fuck them. It's me.
Like my friend Cedric used to say when at Publix, two peas in a bucket.
Hey, that's me. You know what? You know what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to do that with the podcast from now on. Is
don't say that because you always change.
I can't always. One day I'll die. That'll be irrational.
Uncomfortable is where the change is.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get transparent as fuck on this motherfucker. There's not much more to tell. It's already been transparent. But watch. It'll come. I won't declare it. I'll just say watch by about March or something. It's going to get raw as fuck in this bitch. Actually, it already has. Yeah, never mind.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're like, this is what we're going to do. And I'm like, yeah, you told me we're going to do something else like 2 days ago. And then today you're like, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, we're just going to do whatever the fuck I want to do because it's raw as fuck. I mean, yeah, I can't do a podcast anymore now, man, because now I'm telling people shit and you already know it. And I don't know shit to tell you anything. So according to all of us here, we all wasted our time today. When you think about it on some kind of weird level,
I don't think so.
I definitely don't think so.
Thank you. I just needed confirmation.
Yeah, man.
That was my validation and announcement for confirmation. I was just experimenting what we'd been talking about to see if it would work.
Well, that's your perception of this conversation. My perception is like, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I do too. I fucking
screw
love
you,
it.
Adam.
No, I fucking
because
love
it kind of just leave. Okay, now we can just stop getting involved in so much talking. Just go live life.
Yeah.
And be with people.
Yeah.
And that's make lots of money. And I know that it's not because of the money that makes me feel anything. And I'm just taking where I'm coming from into everything I do with everybody I meet.
And it isn't that like you can look in the world and see, like you're saying, you know, and I can make money, but I know that it isn't the money that makes me happy. Can't you literally look out into other parts of the world and see where they have nothing and they're happy and they're running around in the trees and the gardens and, they're just like,
I'm going to pull from Daniel.
And people
Tosh
are like, I've got to work 60 hours a week for 51 weeks a year so that I can go spend a week and do nothing in the wilderness. And all these people are just living on the dirt and eating bugs.
And you've been to other countries, right?
I've been to Canada, if you consider another country.
Okay.
Belize is probably, I've been straight into the heart of Dangriga. Well,
did anybody complain to you? Did anybody tell you, oh, I'm this, I'm that?
No, I could tell you a pretty interesting Belize story where my life was in danger for my luggage. Oh, wow. But That was odd. But no, no one really complained. I'll be honest. No, no one complained at all. Except in all right, Canada. I got to tell the story now. We were flying to Belize. Dan Griega to go to this back, you know, jungle fishing trip. And our plane was rerouted from Belize City to El Salvador. And, well, on the plane was the Belize president. And the plane had got a bomb threat or some threat. So we had to go to a place that was at war. Landed there. Had to stay the night there because there was no plane. Our luggage was not transferred and missing. I'm in an airport where there's 16-year-olds holding AK-47s and machine guns. And I'm rather upset. I'm starting to look back in the luggage thing like, what the fuck? And that's probably not smart where I am and at all. But we had no clothes or anything. This nice South African couple was kind enough to lend me some clothes. And anyway, we had to fly back to Belize City the next day. We flew back there. It was fucking pretty neat that there was one taxi in this whole town of Dan Griega. We had to take this little four-person biplane and land on this fucking dirt mud strip for an airport. And the airport looked like a little league dugout. It was just this fence with a slanted roof, and that was it, and a bench. And that was it. That's your airport. And the one taxi picks us up. It was a Ford 100, yellow, and everyone would be in the truck. And we were in the truck, and the landfill's in the middle of this village. It was just tall. I had to get some lip stuff because I forgot it. It was like $23 for a little piece of, like a little thing of suntan lotion. It was ridiculous. But they drop everybody off, and we're the last drop off, dude. We're like 2 hours down this clay shit in the jungle, man.
Wow.
And then dude makes a left where I didn't think there was a left. And a decent little stilt place, you know, we're doing fishing. It was real nice. The next day, our luggage shows up. And these two gentlemen were, well, it's going to cost you 50 bucks at least each to leave this luggage here.
Oh, wow.
And I was rather upset. And then I realized I'm in the middle of the fucking jungle, in the middle of fucking nowhere, out of some black and white ad on the back of the Florida Sportsman. Yeah, here's $200, guys. I appreciate you bringing my shit all the way out here. But man, but living simply out there, they were nice. There was a local mom and daughter that, you know, were cooking and doing all the stuff around there. But kind, polite. Yeah, I mean, but I will still steal from Daniel Tosh and say that money can't buy happiness. Buys a wave runner. I ain't never seen an unhappy person on a wave runner.
Yep, on a jet ski.
Yeah, it'll buy you one of those fucking things. I hate to kill your joke, but I heard that joke and I'm like, damn, I ain't never been to bitches pissed off. I ain't never been on a jet ski, a wave runner, been like, fuck my life.
No, no. Because you're having fun. Man.
You're right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not thinking about anything. My mind is clear. Or as clear as I can make it doing 60 across the
water.
Now,
don't get me wrong. I was, what you just said, I was doing that a lot at some point.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? Am I thinking because it isn't? I had a thought police going on.
Yeah. Ooh, I like it. Thought police.
Thought police. I was like, nope.
I call it a garrison in the book.
Wow. And then just from staying and just understanding it and listening to someone in the 3P community and just.
The what?
The three principal community.
All right, you said that shit like a cult, bro. I think I'm supposed to just know that shit.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, so just listening to them is just like, okay.
What's the 3P community?
Well, it's a community that came from a guy that I had mentioned before that he had an enlightenment or an epiphany.
Who?
Sydney Banks.
Okay.
And he just started articulating. He was, like in a conversation we had over the phone, he was a ninth grade welder. Wasn't looking to make his life better or nothing. And he just started articulating it. When I first ran across who he was through someone else, I had never heard it before. And he had already been doing it and talking, and there's places here in Central Florida that are completely three principles based. Gulf Breeze, it's an addiction center and recovery.
Okay.
Rehabilitation.
Okay.
That's all they do. There's been communities in Miami that were like crime ridden, poverty ridden, and I think back then it was a guy named Dr. Mills. He was one of the first four psychologists that had totally just like, oh yeah, psychology is not right. And they went with just educating.
Yeah.
Describing.
We're damn right.
Right.
Damn fucking right. I like these dudes already, man. Yeah. So what are the three principles though?
Mind, consciousness, and thought.
Now, this is obviously something you picked up going through this rabbit hole, right?
That is what, I was like, well, what? Because when I heard the guy named Dr. Aaron Turner on a Jamie Smart video say, we all have innate mental health. That was it. I shut the video off and I listened to who he said and I just started listening to it. And it didn't make sense. Like, okay, yeah, you know, that's, I was just like, yeah. Like, I was just knowing it. Like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
like I didn't have to ponder it. I just knew it. That was true. Mm-hmm. When I heard the, share the things that they shared, and especially when it comes to thought and feeling.
So those, I got the first three. It was mind, consciousness.
Mind, consciousness, and thought.
Thought.
Damn. Which are the three principles to how we get to experience life. And what I've seen, I can share about what it sounds like to me, mm-hmm. mind consciousness. Right. But the thought is where I really, we're alive, we're awake, and we're aware. Mind, there's a greater intelligence, which I knew that, like back to that story.
Yeah.
I used to get in trouble all the time because I didn't want to go to church. I'm like, why do I need to go to church if I already know? Mm-hmm. What do you mean you know? You know, so there's an intelligence, that's mind. There's a universal mind. Okay, that's the intelligence. We cut our skin gets cut, it heals by itself. There's an intelligence to everything. And then you have consciousness, which we understand, I'm alive. And then we get to experience it through our thoughts. So we're our life is just a psychological experience.
And that is Orlando Perez's cognitive rampage. That's as much telling as we're going to get from you, I think. That's as much advice, I think, that you'll dev out.
The description, kind of.
I know. I knew if I called it advice, you'd be like, I want fucking advice, bitch. I was just telling
you how
I was. I know. I was painting you in that corner, man. No, man, this has fucking been good, man. And I dig this. We will continue this conversation more frequently.
It was fun.
Yeah. I love it, man.
I'm so glad that I got held back in kindergarten for talking a lot. That was the only reason I got held back in kindergarten. I used to talk a lot.
Oh, that's the only reason I started a podcast. No, it isn't. There were some injustices going on and I needed to talk a lot.
Totally.
So fuck it, man. I appreciate you giving me more shit to think about.
Oh, man. Now he gave you less shit to think about.
That's right. It gave me more shit to think about, which means I have to think about less shit, which is hard because now I'm thinking about more shit to not think about.
But guess what? You can still think about it and you're still going to be okay.
There it is, man.
You know?
That's it. And sometimes you don't have to do nothing.
No, you don't have to do anything. There's nothing
spinning.
To do.
I love that shit. I love it, man. You want to shout out to anybody by too? Because we're going to just take the audio.
Oh, no, just both of you guys. I appreciate the time, man. You guys rock.
Fuck, we're going to do this more.
Awesome. So. You guys are really cool.
It's cool to see a different. Yeah. We're still a nightclub lighting kind of in here, too. Yeah. Right? I'm waiting on the waitress to be like, hey, hold on. You know, we're going to do a bottle of. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, thank you for doing the show, man. It's
going to do a bottle of.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's actually he's been drinking it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should show the thing. Drink my Coty. Go to drinkmycoty.com. Alfred, thank you for the last hidden gift, by the way. Appreciate that one. Love you much. But drink my Coty. I put it in my green shakes in the morning, actually. That's when I mix it up when I do like all kinds of stuff in it. And this mixes it up for me. And I drink it before I go to bed. Some of the people that I do give it to drink it to start their day. I don't know. It's mushrooms. Who knows? It writes all kind of stuff. But what I love most about it is the water has a 2.6 pH level. Basically, it's clean as it gets. And for me, I'm sensitive about my water, so it's really clean. He just happens to throw probiotics in there just to do so with the mushrooms. He's not telling you that this is some full set probiotic you need for your life. He just, when I say he, Alfred, him and his people down there, everybody involved, they just like clean water, and why not throw some beautiful mushroom probiotics to make your stomach poop a little better, you know? That's your tagline. Just like Dollar Mental Health Club is coming soon. We're trying to get that launched out in February. Maybe March when you finally see it full bore right now, but Dollar Mental Health Club is coming. You'll be able to go to dollarmentalhealth.com DollarMentalHealthClub.com. Right now, just a splash page. But email us, actually, if you're interested in being a mental trainer for Dollar Mental Health Club. Email DollarMentalHealthClub@gmail. Your resume and put in the subject line, I want to be a trainer, so we know it's you. But we'll be talking to people as we grow it in February. And I still love the tagline that I use for it. It won't be official. It's not official. And excuse me, but Dollar Mental Health Club, fuck insurance companies. We're trying to find a way to change the paradigm of mental health or mental training. Give people easy, direct answers, not reflective things and ways to, you know, tell me how that makes you feel. It's basically pretty inept, really, after this podcast and talking to Orlando on this one. That pretty much.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all right. People are still going to need it and still need tools and strategies, though. But it's coming out. What do you think, Steve? You think we'll make February?
Manifest it.
That's the secret, right? That's some bullshit. We'll just manifest
that's
it.
The only word I know from them. I have no idea.
That was awesome. That was on point.
That was good, man. I love it. It's like they tell people that you didn't make it because you didn't think about it hard enough, or you got to manifest it and believe it. I want to talk to a lot of MMA fighters and be like, you only lost because you didn't believe it enough. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? There's tons
and that
of
fist in your face had nothing to do with, with you losing.
Right.
Your mind didn't manifest that block.
Right. It just didn't, right? It's crazy. It's nuts. Like, people just, you didn't believe it as much as the other person. That's why they made it. They wanted it more. It's fucking ridiculous, man. We all believe in what we want to a point, I guess. So, anyway, that's enough. The second edition of the Cognitive Rampage is out. Hopefully, January 25th is now what I'm aiming to do. Steve's going to put out the cool-ass trailer soon, the new cover. Looks ridiculous. I love it. And we'll see if you can pick up the changes in the Cognitive Rampage elephant. If you can, you know, we haven't really named the elephant. The one in, this is Caesar in the Cognitive Cave. But we haven't named the elephant at all.
No clue.
All right, maybe somebody else will name the elephant. But anyway, the new cover comes out. And I'm going to try to also have the audiobook recorded and put out by the end of January before January's over. I've been telling everybody the audiobook's coming out in January, but I got to finish the second edition, which, dude, there's been some cool changes, actually. Chapter 15 is no longer, and...
So this is why I don't trust you when you say, we're going to do this.
No,
because in, like, 15 days, you'll be like, oh my God, dude, you have no idea what just happened, and I'll be like, yeah, I knew. I knew this was going to happen.
The book, man, I went through it. Look, I got it out so quick. There was some cleanup and edits that it needed. But that healthy core routine that's in there actually has been removed and changed because I found social constructs that I was enforcing through my own belief systems. Mm. So I had to check my own shit of what I was putting out here and change it, because to truly be that authentic dose, it has to come from you, not me, and what you discover, what you believe. So the second edition, chapter 15, is all but gone and reconstructed, and it's beautiful. It's going to be a much cleaner read, a lot of less squirreling, where, you know me on a podcast, I'm doing it now when I squirrel left and I'm talking about over there and over here. But I wanted to get it out so fast, dude, that there were like 2-3 more rounds of editing it, minimum it needed. So also, I do want to let people know, if you bought the first edition of the Cognitive Rampage, send me picture proof, email us at cognitiverampagepodcast@gmail.com, send me that picture proof, and I will send you a free electronic copy of the second edition. So if you already own the first edition, just send me picture proofs that you got it, you know, smile, whatever, email me, and I promise you I'll send you a free electronic copy of the Cognitive Rampage second edition, because if you bought the first one, I'll give you the second edition because it's only been a year. Cool? Is that all right?
Cool.
Can I do that?
You can do whatever you want.
Fuck yeah, it's my job. I'm my own boss. I'm a terrible boss. I'm a terrible boss, but yeah. Where can people look you up, man?
At my Facebook right now, just Orlando Rene Perez.
Yeah, type that in. You'll see him smiling, beautiful, yeah. Cuban man. Yeah. You got prettier. I got uglier. It's fucked up.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, you look younger.
Do I?
You told yeah. Before?
I thought you got rid of all that weight.
Yeah,
you look like a big...
I was like 240 then, dude, 230. Yeah. I was a hefty dude. I was a big, thick kind of dude.
How old are you, by the way?
35, bro.
Wow, I'm 41.
Yeah, 41.
High five, 41.
Bam! Got a bunch of old fuckers in the cognitive cave. Well, this kid's signing off. I appreciate everybody listening and coming on. You'll hear from Orlando again, yeah? You'll come back on?
Totally, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you paying attention. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. Love you.